Good morning, Abundant Life Church family. So good to worship together. Glad to see all of you who are here, and I'm grateful to have everyone who's at home worshiping with us. You know, I grew up in church. My dad is a pastor, and I wouldn't take anything for the heritage of being raised in church. But if there is one negative thing that could be said about being in church all your life is the possibility and the danger, in fact, that you can become familiar with the Word of God. And it seems like over a long period of time, the power in the Word loses some of its effect because we've heard it so much. Just to prove my point, imagine how it would be, just imagine, if you could today hear the words of John 3:16 for the first time in your life. The power of those words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall be saved. The power of those words, but we're so familiar with certain verses that we overlook the punch and the power that comes with them. Such is the case with one verse of Scripture I want to talk about today. We've heard it all of our lives, we've preached it, we've lived by it, and with things in the world like they are, it's so refreshing to find again this verse of Scripture. But I believe that the Word of God is true in the good times and in the bad times. If we can find the truth of God's Word, it works for us when the stock market is high and when the stock market is low. The Word of God is truth, forever settled. Whether everybody is pandemic-free or not, the truth is the truth. This is one of those verses of Scripture I'm sure you have quoted 1,000 times, and it's always a feel-good verse to go to, but it's not the typical verse you would think that God would highlight during a crisis year. But I believe if God Himself were to walk into the sanctuary and stand before us this morning and open His mouth and speak to us, He would speak the truth to us found in 3 John verse 2 that says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in how much? All things. And on top of that, I pray that you be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, we've heard this verse all of our lives. It's been a rallying verse for us. But today we revisit it again for a deeper revelation. And the irony is God speaks this truth to us at a time when the nation and the world is in crisis. Now, I don't want to overlook the elephant in the room. Let's go ahead and get rid of him right now. 2020 has not been the best year. How bad is it? 2020 has been the year from hell, according to most standards. What we've seen in 2020 has been unprecedented, and it was unpredictable. Oh, there's a long list. I can't call them all, but of course there's COVID, a pandemic that Some people say China invented to destroy our democracy. Political parties differ on the origin of it. Some say it started here and there and yonder. I say it started in hell. Both political parties try to put a spin on it and politicize it for each of their advantage, but it's from the pit. And then because of that, our economic downturn, many people have lost their jobs. I'm talking about America and millions of people who are unemployed today. California's on fire this morning, and yet other parts of the nation flooded because of water and hurricane damage that spawned some tornadoes along the way. This is an election year. There's political upheaval in our nation. I can't remember when we've ever been so divided. Now, every 4 years we hear this is the most important election of our lifetime, and it's probably always true. And every 4 years it always seems like there is a division, us versus them. But this year it's more than just that. It's really us versus them. So much division in our nation. An Abundant Life Church family member said this week, with everything going on in the world and even in her personal life with her and her family, she said, "It feels like the whole world has fallen in on me. So much anxiety, so many things different than ever. And then in the middle of all this, I'm talking about prospering in crisis." I believe the will of God and the word of the Lord this morning is that regardless of circumstances outwardly, the truth is the truth is the truth, and the Bible speaks it. And no matter what's happening around us, God says, "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." I want to start with the first word in that verse. He begins by saying, "Beloved." That is such an intimate and personal title. Beloved. God calling you beloved. Every single one of us. Only God can call every single one of us beloved. Here's why. Beloved is a title that is usually reserved only for the one I am most intimate with, beloved. Now, I love a lot of people, and with a broad brush, biblically, we should love everybody and not just our friends, but even love our enemies. That's hard to do, but I love a lot of people. But there's only one that I call my beloved. That's you, darling. Hello? Are you shopping online? Okay. I'm just asking. Taking notes. Okay, gotcha. Love everybody, if you can, and we should. But humanly speaking, only one person. The person I'm most intimate with enjoys the title of being my beloved. But God looks at each of us that way, and He calls us His beloved because of our relationship with Him. It is an intimate one. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Prospering in crisis. The New Living Translation said, "I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." The Amplified Bible says, "I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. The Message translation says, I pray for good fortune in everything you do, for your good health, that your everyday affairs prosper. Now that gets down to where we live, where the rubber meets the road. God's will for us, even in times of crisis, His children are uniquely graced during those times with His desire that we prosper in our everyday affairs. Now, I'm not just talking about finances. Usually when you hear a minister talk about prospering or prosperity, it's all about money. No, that's the filthiest part. It does include having enough for your needs to be met and some left over to bless others, but it's not just about money, not true prosperity. The Bible gives us a definition of what's important to us as the people of God in the kingdom of God. In Romans 14 and 17, it tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, if we can prosper in those three things, that's true prosperity. Give me those three things. First of all, give me, number one, a right standing with God. And then number two, give me the peace of God. And then number three, give me the joy of God. That is true prosperity. I'm talking about prospering in crisis. Regardless of outward circumstances, God blesses His children all the time, even in times of crisis. Now, I want to speak to the issue of hope and faith for just a minute. Hope and faith. They are two different things, but yet they're so closely connected. And both are important to us. But there is a distinction between hope and faith. I'll ask this question. If we lose our hope, can we keep our faith? I know the answer. But before I give it to you, I'll read one verse of Scripture that answers that for us. I know we feel like, well, no, we have to have both, and they're both the same thing. But the truth is, there are many people today who are hopeless. And other great people have been hopeless before. I'm just saying that even in times of crisis, God wants to prosper and bless His people above and beyond the people who do not know Him. And faith is more important than hope, even though the Bible says faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Now, I have a lot of hope, hopes, plural, but when my faith gets a hold of it, it becomes evidence to me. I don't have to see a manifestation in the natural before I can thank God for a blessing. Just let me have enough faith to believe for the blessing, and that's evidence. Faith is evidence of things that we hope for. There was a horrible storm at sea. It's recorded in the book of Acts. And Paul was on board. More than 200 other men and women on board that ship. And a hurricane, one translation calls it a nor'easter, a hurricane came through. And days went by, and they were tossing everything overboard, trying to keep the ship afloat. And in Acts chapter 27 and verse 20, Paul, who was on board that ship, said this, "The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and stars, until at last all hope was gone." There are people here maybe, watching maybe. I know some. I know you know some people. They feel all hope is gone. Paul even had lost all hope. But he did not lose his faith. Because later he would write, I have kept the faith. Even if you feel like you're in a hopeless place today because of a crisis or for whatever reason, guard your faith. You can lose your hope, but keep your faith. Hope will come back around. I'm telling you. I was watching our friends Mylon and Christy Lefevre on their television program. I watch that program every week. You can go to Mylon.org if you want to find out. I watch it on Daystar and set my DVR and watch it when I want to. Also, they have video daily devotions every day of the year. And Mylon was teaching the Word of God on television recently. And I was being fed. And he said this about the Word of God. He said, we don't just hope God's Word will work at your house. We believe it. There's a difference. You can walk through a hopeless place and still have faith working for you. I hate to be talking like this, but it's that bad out there. But it's that good in here. My worst day with God is better than my best day without Him. Amen. Now, there are a couple of things we can do that will help us prosper even in a crisis. You want to know what they are? Aren't you glad I don't have 12? The first thing we can do to bless the chance of prosperity in our life, even in the middle of crisis, is be obedient to God's Word. No brainer, you would think. But let's look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, study this book of instruction, capital B, capital I. We're talking about the Word of God, the written Word of God. And when this was written, there were only five books in scribble, the five books of Moses. It didn't take long after the five books of Moses were written that Joshua came along and said, study the book. Study the Bible, we would say today. Study God's Word and meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So our prosperity is decided by our obedience. We can do that. There are a couple of things we can do to work with God as He intends to prosper us, even in crisis. Our prosperity is decided by our obedience. Let me share a few verses with you. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 1, the prophet Elijah is introduced in this verse. Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, who was the king, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Verse 2 is important. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now, notice several things quickly about that. Elijah had the call of God on his life. He was called to be a prophet. God gave him an instruction and he obeyed. Could have cost him his life on the spot, but he ran into the king's court. Nobody'd ever heard of him before. In Scripture, this is the first mention. And he declares the word of the Lord to the face of the king. There's not going to be any rain, not even any dew, in our nation for years until I say so. He obeyed the Lord in delivering the word. Secondly, the word of the Lord came to him again and said, now you get out of here. You go into hiding. Told him exactly where to go. Head east and go to the brook Cherith. It flows into the Jordan. You stay there. I'll provide for you there. And the Bible says he did according to the word of the Lord. In other words, he got an instruction from God and he was obedient. And the strange thing to me, and perhaps some of you can relate to this, do you know what it's like to be used by God, like Elijah was, to deliver the word, God says, deliver, even at a great risk of your own physical safety? And then the next thing you hear from God is, I want you to go hide. I want you to remain a secret, is what the Hebrew really says. I want you to remain a secret. Go into hiding. Yes, I called you. I gave you an instruction. You were obedient. Good job. Here's another instruction. Get out of there and go into hiding. That would be awful for a prophet to have to do, wouldn't it? He became non-prophet real quick. But notice, after he obeyed the Lord, and it was a pattern, God said, go tell the king this. He did. God said, now leave this place. Get out of here. Go east. He did. After a pattern of obedience had been developed in his life, then he finds himself in hiding at the instruction of the Lord. But after he obeyed, God provided. Even in a crisis like 2020 has brought to us, after we obey the word of the Lord, he provides and blesses and prospers his people. Part of what we can do to help God out is to be obedient to his word. Then the ravens, everybody else starving. I mean, imagine if nothing could grow, no vegetation, no vegetables. I wouldn't miss them much. But nothing can, the cattle dying because there's no grain to feed them and no water to feed them. I mean, and a bird brought Elijah 2 square meals a day, which if it's bread and meat, all I would need is 2. In fact, you could spare the bread, just the meat. Bring me a ribeye in the morning and a ribeye in the evening. I'd be fine. I can prosper with that. But a bird commanded by God brought provision to Elijah, because he had established a pattern of obeying the word of the Lord. Not just a hit and miss once in a while, but a pattern of obeying the Lord. Now, seasons can change. And it did for Elijah. Let's read on, beginning at 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow to provide for you there. After he had been provided for by the brook, the water and the bread and meat birds brought him. The brook dried up. The season changed. You know, things are going to look a lot different in a new season. Seasons change. But the provision of God is a constant if we obey him. After God finished feeding Elijah with the bird, that was the original DoorDash. Wouldn't that be nice? I think we're getting close. Probably we can order something, food to be delivered, and a drone that looks like a bird. Bring it right to the table and lay it before us. I mean, we're getting close. But when that season was over and the brook dried up, God already had in place another way to provide and to prosper the man who had obeyed him. So our prosperity is decided by our obedience in part. Our prosperity is decided by our obedience. Now, secondly, our blessing is determined by what we sow. That's the second thing we can do in our partnership with God who calls us beloved. I want you to prosper. I want you to be healthy, even as your soul is prospering. Our blessing is determined by what we sow. If you're not as blessed as you need to be, as you want to be, and you're wondering, well, I wish God would do everything, and I wish he would do more than just write a book for me to read. Well, you can play a part. First of all, by being obedient to God's word, like Elijah was, and we see how God provided for him. Secondly, you can partner with God as you believe for his blessing on your life, even in crisis. It's determined by what we sow. As a man sows, that shall he also reap. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to read a few verses. First, verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. Listen, we're so familiar with the word, those of us who've been in church all our life. Please let's hear it for the first time again. Then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Verse 10, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Wouldn't you like that to be going on? For God to produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So our blessing is determined in part by what we sow. And you know how it is. If you sow love, you will reap love. If you sow kindness, you will reap. We need more people sowing some kindness these days. If you sow vengeance, oh, God help you. It's such a powerful principle, even the atheist and those of other religions have to respect the principle that's here. They may not call it the law of sowing and reaping. They may call it something else, but it's like gravity. Everybody in the world knows this is a law. They may call it even karma. I don't have a problem with karma. Some people I talk to know what that means, and they don't understand a thing about the law of sowing and reaping. They weren't like me. They weren't raised in church, and I'm glad I was. But that's how powerful this principle is. We reap what we sow, and we reap more than we sow. So, the two things we can do as we are in covenant relationship with God, even in a crisis that will allow us to prosper is be obedient to the word of the Lord and then be generous in sowing and in blessing the lives of other people. So your next harvest begins with a seed. How huge is that? You can take one little seed. Let's say it's an apple seed. Put it in the ground. That seed knows what to do. That seed knows better than to grow up and produce lemons. Even the farmer who plants the seed don't understand how that happens. But I know it does. I've done it so many times. I put one seed in the ground. And if it's an apple seed, doggone it, it's going to be an apple tree, and the tree's going to be hanging full of apples. And inside each of those apples are many more seeds. And so it's seed time and harvest. And so there's seed time, and then you wait a little bit, and it's harvest. There has to be some time to pass between planting the seed and reaping the harvest. But we can prosper even in times of crisis by obeying God and by sowing the right kind of seed. One way God blesses us is He enlarges our harvest and replenishes our generosity. Don't it make you feel good when you're generous? And the Bible knew that. It says it's more blessed to give than to receive. If everybody behaved according to that principle, then we would have far less problems in the world and far less needs that go unmet. Now, there was a famine in the day of Isaac. Famine, we don't know much about it in the literal terms of the definition of the word famine. No food to eat. In America, we have more food than we can possibly consume. We could feed the whole world with what's grown just here in America. So we don't know what famine is, even though we are in dire need of a lot. So we do have a type of famine going on in our nation. But back in the day of Isaac, the Bible says there was a famine in the land. Famine. We can't even imagine it. Every now and then my stomach will growl. And Brenda will say, "Are you hungry?" No. No, it means something else. It means something else because I don't think I've ever been hungry in my life. I've eaten some things I didn't like because there wasn't anything else to eat in a few places. Things with heads on them and eyes looking at me from the plate. But I don't know what famine is. We are so blessed as a nation. Even in a crisis, we're so blessed. We have food to eat. Now, a lot of people are hungry in America, but it's not because of a lack of food. It's a breakdown in distribution and in sharing and in sowing and in ministering to others from our surplus to those who have need when we have a surplus. So there is some inequity, of course, but no famine in America. But back in Isaac's day, Genesis 26 verse 1 says there was a famine in the land. And Genesis 26, verse 12, in a famine, it says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. God blessed Isaac when there was famine in the land. Not just a pitiful blessing, not just barely enough, but 100-fold. Even in a famine, sowing works. And God prospers His people based on, in large part, our obedience to His word and our respect to the law of sowing and reaping. Now, would you stand with me, please?